White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 748.
I'm Brendan Marcello, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight!
It's finally here, UMass Hate Week 2023. The AU Wishbone is next.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How you doing?
It's here! It's here! It's finally here! One of the most eagerly anticipated Auburn football seasons in quite some time. Not because we think we're going to go 14-0 or anything, but because we think we're going to see competence, improvement, something worth watching. It's very, very exciting. I am your host, by the way, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, this is an exciting time, and we're going to touch on this again in just a moment, an exciting time to be an Auburn football fan. Would you not agree?
I would, Van. The long, dark tea time of the offseason is over. We can move into the fun now.
It is. It's we're finally into game week. It is a game week. And this is always my craziest, busiest week of the year, because we have the first college football games, we have the first Auburn football game, we've just done the big barbecue episode, school has started, my job starts back in earnest, and it's Dragon Con weekend coming up. It's just too much. It's too much all going on at one time. If my whole year was like this, I'd have a stroke or something. It's absolutely crazy. But managing all of that somehow keeps me going. It keeps us all going, and it's exciting.
I was going to say, as soon as we clone you, Van, you'll have it all under control. So
then we'll start getting the genetic drift, but that's a whole other podcast we've done. Yes, that's right. So it's UMass Hate Week 2023. I think we need to start the show off in style, John.
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
All right, there
like
we go.
We should have a bandage around our head.
I know. Absolutely. Oh, man, I should have brought Boris down here. The three of us could have marched in sequence and been like the three guys with the little, the one carrying the flag and whatever. So, yeah, so this is an exciting time, and we're going to just roll right on into it's the Auburn Fun Meter, John. It is our weekly look at how much fun it is to be an Auburn Tiger. John puts his pondering look on always at this point in the program. He's thinking about it carefully. He's mulling it over. He's the little emoji with the hand on the chin always. And the thought is, here's the question that's hanging over us tonight, John. Are you going to be higher than normal because it's the first week of the season and Auburn's kicking off and playing a game that we should win? Or are you going to be about the same because we haven't actually done anything yet and you're in anticipation of that and you're going to be higher on that scale in a few days and so you're saving a little back? Where exactly are you on the Auburn Fun Meter?
This is a good important question, Van, because yeah. This is about the Auburn Fun Meter methodology.
Exactly. Okay? Yep.
Are we only counting Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, measuring at that point? So, like, if I go to a 10 on Saturday and come back down on Monday, we're giving me what I came down to on Monday?
It's a tough question, man. I mean...
This is what I'm... It's for the science.
It is, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I feel like it needs to be at the moment that we ask each other.
I agree. I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say 8.5, and this is why. Number one, There's only one UMass Hate Week, and there I love this week. And then number two, like, I love the Labor Day weekend smorgasbord of games over 5 or 6 days. I can't wait. I'm going to watch every minute of every college football game from Thursday night to Monday night, and I'm going to enjoy it. And so I'm really looking forward to that. Not just the Auburn Cup game, especially that, but all the games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that what we can do going forward, because this will be the first season where we've done this,
yes,
is we can say what our fun meter is on during the show, but if we want to, we can reference back, you know, at like 4 o'clock on Saturday, man, that thing was, you know what I'm saying? We can.
That's fair.
Yeah, so we can take note of the high and low water marks, yeah, and then report back on Monday night. So, but no, this is by far my biggest week and weekend of the year. I'll be watching every football game I'm able to. There's a Formula One race. I mean, I even found out last week that there's a Dragon Con group for Formula One fans. They're going to meet up at one of the hotel lobbies and watch the race at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So
you have not given your number.
No, I haven't. I think my Auburn fun meter right now is at an 8, but it is steadily building. And I think that by Saturday, when I'm sneaking peeks at my phone under the table, it should be getting awfully close to 10, just because it's back, it's yeah. Auburn football, and the future is bright, and the world is filled with possibilities again, and it's like it's morning in America. That's all it is. Morning in Auburn. It's morning in Auburn again. There you go. All right, so that was the Auburn fun meter. And next up, we have some football news. Now, we've got non-Auburn football news because not only were there other games played, but there were some rules tweaks that I want to talk about, and I know you want to talk about. There's some recruiting information, some practice news, and then, you know, we can kind of look at the game itself coming up and a couple other things. So what do you want to start out with?
Let's start out with did we learn anything from week zero in terms of the new rules? And I think the one thing we saw is that the new clock rules make the games go faster. Games are going to be shorter. It's going to be fewer plays.
All right, back up. It made fewer plays. So it made the game, if you limit what you're talking about to just the game, it made it faster. But it was exactly what I was afraid of. Less football, more commercials, and the overall time frame of the game remains exactly the same. It might have been 2 minutes off. They improved the overall time frame of the game by 2 minutes by speeding up the game, which gave them more time to spend away from the game. And that just infuriates me. It just makes me so mad. It's nobody would have voted for that. It's just, you know.
Well, We're running fewer plays. It's a player safety issue, right? So fewer plays over the course of the season. It's like the players are playing a half of less football, and therefore they're safer because there's fewer tackles and players running into each other. But you are correct in that they're not giving that time back to us. I would say here's in comparison, baseball changed their rules this season. There's a pitch clock. Things move much faster, and where a Major League Baseball game several years ago used to be 4 hours or whatever, it's at least an hour faster now.
Oh, wow.
It is a gigantic difference, and that's the experience is shorter in the stadium, and it's less TV time.
Wow, maybe I should actually give baseball another chance then, because I sure don't enjoy watching it normally. So that's interesting. I didn't know about that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just... It's fine to take away football if the overall goal is to make the whole game move along quicker and not be 3.5 hours. Nobody's really going to say, you know, I want football to be 4 hours, not 3.5 hours. That's not going to be something anybody says. But other than the occasional overtime, you know, if there's a reason for it. But taking away football and replacing it with more ads is just the worst possible thing you could do, in my opinion. I mean... It's just,
I think some of it is that, you know, especially when you have two teams that pass the ball a lot, like if you had two real passing-oriented teams, the clock is just not going to stop nearly as much. And so the clock's going to keep moving except for the last 2 minutes of each half when there, incompletion is a first down stops the clock, right?
Yeah.
A first down doesn't stop the clock other times. So unless you're going out of bounds, even, you know, they're not going to stop it. So I think it is going to result. It's the big thing from a strategy standpoint is if you are way behind, you have to get more aggressive and kind of 2-minute offense earlier than you did before.
Earlier, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have two teams, if you have two running teams, like Army and Navy or something, and you don't stop the clock now on first downs, then the clock's just going to run. They do still stop the clock on incomplete passes, don't they? Or is that only in certain times now?
I think it's...
if they're leaving the clock running on incomplete passes, the game's going to be 45 minutes long.
I think NFL clocks run during incomplete passes, but I don't think the college clock does. But it does. You don't get a stoppage for a first down where they reset the chains and you bring them up to the line and restart it. And you can't take two timeouts in a row, which, I mean, that's a good thing.
That's very good. Who wants to deal with that? That's awful. Yeah, that's terrible. All right. So, yeah, I'm not happy about this because they took something that could have been good and found a way to make it bad. And again, the player safety thing is always that's like when you build interstate highways, calling it the National Security Interstate Highway Act. You can always wave that around as an excuse and say, oh, who's going to vote against that? You know, but that's not really the reason you did it. And that's not really the reason they did this. If this provides player safety,
the 1950s,
then yay.
It made a lot of sense for Eisenhower to go for interstate. We need to be able to move those divisions around in case we're invaded, Van.
Yeah, well, because that happens. All right, let's look at recruiting. We actually saw our beloved average player rating go down after a recruit because we got a 3-star. But the word is that he's on the way up, and he probably won't be a 3-star for long. Maybe he's going up or whatever. And in any case, he was coveted by other big teams, so it's not like we just grabbed some scrub, right?
Yeah, and he's a 4-star by one service, so.
So that would be?
Dimitri Nicholas. He's a big defensive lineman from Florida, South Florida, I believe. And so, again, I think it's the third defensive lineman in this class, which is a good thing. We definitely going to need some of that for the future, so I'm pretty happy about that. And then I believe the big offensive lineman that we've been recruiting for a while that came to Auburn a few times is committing on Sunday.
So did we ever hear from the big lineman from California?
That's the one I'm talking about. He's Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. I feel good about him. I felt good about him for a while. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. We're slowly one thing I've really appreciated about what Freeze and his staff have done, they never really seemed worried about our numbers. They just said they never got in a panic mode and said, let's just take people to fill up numbers. Yeah. They knew who they wanted and they went after them. And if they didn't get them, they picked the next person, lined them up and went after them. And they've been deliberately and steadily working their way through good recruits and getting more than they've lost. I mean, so even though we've been kind of behind number wise most other teams all year, when it all shakes out, I think we're going to be okay. And the players we have will be all the better because we didn't take 2- and 3-star guys when we were able to get 4- and 5-star guys.
Yes, and we've seen the staff flip commitments from other schools to us on signing day, so that's a possible way to close some of the gap. But also, I think they're kind of balancing the high school commits versus future transfers, and if we get more high school commits that are 4- and 5-star guys, great. We'll take fewer transfers, and if we get less of those 4- and 5-star high school commits we want, we'll take a couple more transfers.
Yeah. So, and we got a long way to go yet. I mean,
yes.
It's just August still. And so the whole season has to be played. And, you know, you can recruit all you want, but nothing delivers a message to a recruit like having a good season.
That's right. Well, a recruit coming to Jordan-Hare when there's a big game and the crowd is electric and Auburn is fun and exciting and plays well and the crowd is into it, that sells. And I think we're going to see that some this year, and that is going to sell to recruits and attract them even more. So.
Man, We need some more environments like that Texas A&M game that we were at. That was so good. That was so good. I mean, again, it was like two teams with four wins late in the season. And, you know, it's funny because I was so wrapped up in everything else about that game that it never even dawned on me until later that you and I had been to Texas A&M, to the Texas A&M game 2 years in a row, and we were getting revenge on them.
That's right. Pretty nice. I didn't think about that either. That's good.
Yeah. We got to see the loss, but then we got to come back and get the revenge. That was good. All right. Practice news. What are we've talked about Peyton Thorne being the starting quarterback. We also know that Robbie's got like some kind of a strain or something.
Yeah, they talked about a few injuries today. Robbie's a little banged up. I'm going to have to remember off the top of my head. There was three or four other players that were banged up, got a questionable, including one of the defensive backs, and then I think one of the receivers, too. Coy Moore has been banged up, and Javarius Johnson has been banged up. There was somebody else that was in that pile besides Robbie. Mm. And so they're all – Freeze described them all today as basically questionable. So they might make it into play, but he wasn't sure all of them did.
It might be a good thing in this way that Thorne ended up winning the quarterback job, because Robbie might not have been able to go if he had won it, and then it'd have been back to Thorne anyway. That's crazy. I did like, before we get into the thing, I did like, this is just something that occurred to me. Did you see where Free said he said every team is different, every coaching staff is different, and he's learning the personality of this team and this coaching staff, and he said he's having to be the practice jerk or whatever, the guy that jumps on players when they don't give enough effort or whatever. I thought that was pretty funny.
He's been calling people out. I want to give Freeze a lot of credit here. Mm-hmm. He has been, I believe, very honest and transparent in his comments to the media after practices and when they've had media availability. And I think he's been sometimes he's doing the thing we talked about where he's talking to the players. Mm-hmm. He's being the practice jerk when he talks to the media and he's telling, I didn't like the effort in this practice, or I didn't like this position group's effort or effectiveness in their playing. And he's called out the run defense a lot as a real problem. You know,
and I'm very worried about that.
Is a strength, but he's called out the run defense a lot. He called out the receivers some. He called out the DBs some.
The DBs is the one, yeah.
So I think that's been a good thing. But also, I just appreciate that he's been very honest when he answers questions about stuff. I think that it is, after Gus and Potato. It is incredibly refreshing to not hear that coach speak pablum.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, they're running around out there, and they're looking good, and it's all good.
A lot of good effort. I appreciate it, and I want to say
that. I liked that he said he says probably in some ways the strongest position on the team are the defensive backs. And he said that he says oftentimes he's seen that the strongest position on the team knows they are, and they loaf a little bit, right? They take a few plays off and don't try as hard.
Well, I thought about that after he said it, because one of the things with the defensive backs is none of those guys were challenged for their job.
Right, exactly.
They're all upperclassmen who are very talented and are very secure. Yeah. And a lot of other positions, there were battles, and you had to bring it every day or you were going to lose your spot. And none of those guys were in that position.
So the one thing I heard him say was he said he went over to one of our DBs and said, "So you're going to decide to tackle some today?" that had to get under the guy's skin, whichever one it was. I mean, that's challenging your manhood right there, son, man. That's serious. So, you know, he said they were, and I like that he said the next week he called them out and said that they were the most improved from week to week.
Yeah.
So in other words, he gave them credit that they had done what he said and they had stepped up, and that's really, really good. I mean, I like everything about his approach so far. I really do.
Yeah, and he gave the receivers credit when they had good practices, and then they had a bad scrimmage, and he let them hear about it. So.
Yeah, it's interesting about the receivers. He said the receivers look really good in practice, and then they get out in the stadium for like the scrimmage or whatever, and they're not as good, and he's not quite sure why there's such a drop off there. And I don't know either. That's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know, but they don't play in the practice field. They play in the stadium, so they better figure it out pretty quick. But Go ahead. I was going to hit point three on our chart. Okay. I like that they asked him, I think, today about the depth chart, and he said the depth chart is nonsense to me. He said he didn't say anybody is first team or second team. Quote, that doesn't fly with me, unquote. He says there will be a lot of rotation, especially at wide receiver. So he said the depth chart Auburn released today, quote, comes from SID world, unquote. I just love that there's an SID world out there in the galaxy that's beaming out Auburn starting lineups. And he's like, that there is from aliens, y'all. I don't know where that I'm seeing that gif where the guy's saying, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens, right? When you, coach, where did the depth chart come from? Well, I'm not saying it's from aliens, but it's from aliens. It's from SID world.
I do appreciate that he, part of his approach with that is he wants all the players to be engaged.
Yeah.
And they plan, I do believe they plan to rotate a lot of guys on defense and at wide receiver. So I think that'll be interesting to see.
I think so too. Yeah. And that's such an important thing. I mean, and it's something that, you know, our previous regime, I'll spare you the button there, didn't do. Yeah. Is they tried to play the same little group of people the whole game, the whole season, and that just doesn't work.
And we need, I mean, again, we need our starters to play a good bit so they feel they can gel and they're ready to go to Cal, but we need to play a bunch of backups, especially on defense. They got to be ready. They have to have been in a game and gone out and tackled somebody full speed, so they're ready to get on the field when they need
to. See, I was going to ask you this, and that's kind of messed up, so let me change it a little bit. I was going to ask you to predict what quarter Ashford goes in at quarterback for the first time. Like, because here's your options, basically, right? He goes in the first quarter because they want to use his package of plays early, right? He goes in the second quarter because they're wanting to get him in the mix before halftime. He goes in the third quarter because we're pulling away and we feel secure. Or he goes in the fourth quarter just because we got to get him in before it's over. Or could be because the game is close, right? I mean, we've had some remarkably close games with bad teams the last few years. I'm not going to rule anything out.
If we're close with this team, I'm going to be worried. I'm going to answer your question and say the third quarter would be my guess.
All right. I like it. I'm going to say if he plays and if he's healthy at all, I'm going to say he goes in the second quarter. Who's going to go in then? Who do you predict is going to play besides Thorne? Will it be Gurner or Robbie?
I think Robbie, again, if Robbie doesn't play, it's because he's injured.
Well, exactly. Right.
So if he's healthy, I think he's going to come in and play and take over when we're up. By the third quarter, we'll be up, 28 points or whatever, and they'll feel fine and they'll bring him in and let him go at that point.
I have a feeling this game is going to be closer than we would like for the first half, at least.
Maybe.
I think it's going to be like, I mean, I could be completely wrong.
One of the things we have to be prepared for as fans is they're like half the team is new, all the coach, two-thirds of the coaches are new. This is the first time they've actually done this. Some stuff's going to go wrong. Like, it's going to happen. We're going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong guy. We're going to have to call a timeout because we got the wrong guys out there. All that's, we're going to have, penalties and stuff. All that stuff's going to happen. And so my thing is, don't expect it to be a smooth, well-oiled machine all the time. I think, and we're going to play a lot of guys too. So I think it's if we just played the most experienced guys who know what they're supposed to be, it might look cleaner, but we're not. I think we're going to play a lot of guys.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're going to do our preview in just a minute, but I want to go ahead and say this while it's on my mind. I may forget it completely knowing me before we get to that. I think the game's going to go where it's the part of the issue is going to be us. It's brand new everything, trying to get in the groove, and it's going to be a little struggling, a little struggly. I think we'll have moments of brilliance and moments of, oh, rusty, that was not good, right? Just back and forth. I think UMass, I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a good team, but I think they're better than people realize. I think they've got a good coach now. They were number 9 in the country against the pass last year. Now, I'm sure they weren't playing great teams, but they could have been number 133 against the pass, and they were number 9. So they're doing something right, okay? So I think it's going to – I think we'll come out and look good for a few plays, maybe score a time or two, and then I think they're going to score or they're going to kind of get back in it, And it could be like 14-3, 14-7, going close to halftime. Maybe we get a late touchdown or field goal before halftime. Maybe it's 17-7 at the half or something. And I feel like in the second half, they're going to lean on, they're going to stop trying to force it, and they're going to lean on what we do. They're going to just like pound away with our running backs. And I think we end up winning this game like 35-13, maybe. Which, I mean, I'd rather this game be like 70-0. I know sure. that. I know most Auburn fans think this is going to be 70-0, and I do understand that. I don't think it is. I think 35-13, 35-17, somewhere around in there, is about, or maybe 38 or 34, four touchdowns and two field goals, something like that. I just don't feel like we're going to have a offensive explosion in our first game.
That's fair.
But we'll get better.
Oh, yeah. No. I think it's going to be a lot of rust and a lot of first game mistakes, and they'll iron that stuff out because we need to make those now.
Well, your next question on here was, are Auburn fans expecting too much from this team? And I think early in the season, yes, you've got to give them time. That's what we're getting at here.
I think that's what you're saying is very important. Do not expect this team to look like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl in the first game.
In the first game.
New quarterback and 40 new players. Like, it is not going to be like that. It's going to be better. We have different players and different, you know, I think this team is, you know, got some strengths and stuff and different coaching staff. And I think they'll be well coached. But I also think you're going to have guys running the wrong way, guys running the field they're not supposed to, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's, you know, playing games with 18-20-year-olds, though.
Well, apparently they've got a pretty good quarterback that they've brought in, and if they were more of a running team, I would be more worried. I feel like if they're trying to pass the ball on us, we can shut them down more. But if they had like a really good running back, I would be really nervous that we would struggle with them in like sort of a Jacksonville State kind of way, which I don't.
Well, you just put a pin in that because there's a certain team on the Western Coast of the United States that has a good running back.
Oh boy! All right. Well. Great. We'll learn a lot more that week too.
Yeah, but what I wanted to say is I heard Free say some stuff, and I heard some media people say some stuff this week, and I just wanted to throw it back out there that I think in the past couple of days I've heard Free say a couple of things that I would describe as managing expectations mm-hmm. a little bit.
Oh yeah,
and trying to say, hey, you know,
yeah,
we're better. I think we're good, but you know. I think he doesn't want everybody to get over their skis and assume that like 8-4 is, you know, the baseline.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's that.
Yeah. No, I agree with him. I think that's a smart way to think. Before we do our UMass game preview, I just want to ask you a couple of things here. I'm not taking issue with Brandon Marcello. He's our friend of the show, good friend, good guy. But he put out a top 30 today. His prediction top 30 for the beginning of the season. And there's just some things on it I don't understand, and maybe it's just me, and I want to see if you can kind of help me out here, all right? And our okay. listeners can kind
I
of
am ready. Out.
All right, so his top row 1-5 is Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, LSU. All right, my first question, why is Florida State a top 5 team this year?
They have an enormous amount of talent coming back, and they got about 6 or 7 really top-shelf transfers. They have their returning quarterback. They're one of the best defensive linemen in the country, great receivers. They have basically their whole team back from last year, and they were a – where do they go? Like
they lost 3 games in the middle of the year.
Yeah. They're a legitimate team that could win the ACC and go to the playoff.
Hmm. They lost last year. This team lost to Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson in a row, back to back to back. So you think they're going to be?
I don't think this is, again, they play at Clemson. A lot of people think they're going to like lose to Clemson, and then turn around and you know, maybe beat Clemson in the ACC championship game.
Okay. Is LSU the 5th best team in the country, ahead of Alabama, ahead of Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah,
I definitely ahead of Tennessee.
Okay.
Yes, I think it again. There's two kinds of polls, right? It's how good are they, or where do I think they're going to finish at the end of the year? I think LSU is really good, but I also think LSU plays a an SEC West schedule plus Florida State. So they may go 10-2 and not make the SEC championship game and still have a great season. You know what I'm saying? And still be the fifth best team in the country. I don't think they're, you know, awesome. And I think sometimes one of the things we see in college football a lot, and it's going to come with some of these other teams to talk about, is people assume linear progress, right? You're this good, then you'll be that good, right? And it's the same thing we just talked about Florida State. They were good. People expect them to take a step up. And it's just both part of it is returning talent. You know, LSU has good returning quarterback, an excellent offensive line. They got the best young defensive player in the conference. They have the top returning receiver in the conference. I think, you know, they're going to be really good. Part of the challenge is they got to go to Tuscaloosa and they got to play Florida State and Orlando.
I just feel like both of those teams are not as good as, like, in other words, he has Florida State and LSU above Alabama. I feel like Alabama's going to end the season better than both of them.
Alabama doesn't have a quarterback that we've seen yet. They have three or four guys, we're not sure. And I'm not sure how good their wide receivers are. And they've lost the best defensive. They had the top, you know, two of the top picks in the draft were Alabama players, and they're gone. They're, you know, their Heisman caliber quarterback and their Will Anderson, they're all everything defensive player. Other players got to step up and make play, and they lost a few other good players too. So I just think it's that and two new coordinators.
Well, honestly, I'm all in favor of Alabama getting crushed by everybody they play, and I'd love to see that play out this year for sure.
You're not holding your breath.
I'll believe it when I see it. You know my rule. As long as I've known you, which is a long time now, sadly, long, long time, too long for getting old. As long as you know me, you know my rule is you know, it's like the Missouri rule. You got to show me before I'll change my mind. You can tell me Alabama's not going to be as good, but until I see them losing to Mississippi State or something, I'm not believing it.
Yeah, again, they're sixth.
Which for Alabama is shockingly low.
They lost two games last year. I think they might lose two games again.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Another one that puzzled me. Texas A&M is at 15. This is a team that won like four games last year with the same players.
Yeah, again, they had the talent they have more talent than many of the teams ranked ahead of them in terms of pure recruiting talent.
And they
started a young quarterback last year who's back, and now they have Petrino to help improve the offense and actually play better. So the talent part was never the problem. It was always the getting everybody to go in the same direction and be all fully on board and stuff with each other and get out of each other's way. So they could finish fifth or they could finish 50th. I don't know.
Again, they got to show me. I'm not going to believe A&M has made this huge leap. It takes the leap A&M is making is a leap of faith, okay? That's the leap they're making, and I don't buy it. I just don't. Let's see. Tulane is 19. I know Tulane was better last year than they have been in a while and played pretty well. Didn't they get in a bowl and beat? And, well, they play Ole Miss or something? Or they played somebody in a bowl and did real well.
They did. Again, they won the American Athletic Conference, right? The conference that Central Florida,
And
Cincinnati, and all those teams were in. And Cincinnati was good enough to be a playoff team winning that conference 2 years ago.
Right.
Tulane won it. They're good. They had their quarterback back and a number of talent back. I think they're a solid team. So if this said Cincinnati or Central Florida, you'd say, okay.
Yeah, that's true. I said, I know they've been trending up lately. I get that. Are they really better than South Carolina? Are they better than Wisconsin? Are they better than UCLA? Are they better than Oklahoma? I don't.
Oklahoma was
bad.
Crap last year.
They were.
So that's one I'm putting in the they got to show me something because they were not good.
I don't even know who the team at 28 is on this chart. Do you know who that is?
That is, are you ready?
Please.
South Alabama. And the team at 30 is
Troy. I recognize Troy's little funky T. I do. So you're telling me that South Alabama beats Oklahoma
on a neutral field tomorrow?
Yeah.
South Alabama went 10-3 last year. They lost to at UCLA Van 32-31.
Oh wow!
Last year.
All right.
They They and Troy are the two big dogs in the Sun Belt Conference now, and they're going to play for conference supremacy, and they're both going to be pretty good.
I would have South Carolina higher up. They were beating the big boys last year, and I feel like they've turned the corner, unless they think it was a fluke. But there's no way. I mean, so right now Troy would beat Auburn?
I would not want to play Troy tomorrow.
Okay. All right. We've seen them beat like LSU and stuff. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, and they're way better than that now.
Yeah.
So I would not want to play Troy or South Alabama tomorrow until we get our stuff together. I'm going to say that.
Okay. All right. So no Ole Miss.
I would take either one of those teams going to California next week.
I look at this. There you go. I look at this chart. There's no Ole Miss. There's no Kentucky. There's no Arkansas. There's no Auburn. South Carolina's 23rd. I just had questions. You've helped. You've helped a little bit. But I'm still going to have to see it. Gonna have to see it. All right. The game coming up is at 3:30 your time, 2:30 my time, which is exactly the same time that my I'll be having a panel going on at Dragon Con, so I'll not be watching it, but I'll watch it as soon as I can afterward. Probably
but
on my
it's
phone.
On regular ESPN.
Yeah. I thought our game was on CBS.
Nope.
Okay. ESPN, regular ESPN. That's still pretty good for a UMass game.
It is. I think that's huge.
So, as I said a little while ago, people think they're the worst team in college football, and you noted here, not the worst team in college football. So
I watched a good bit of the UMass New Mexico State game. So I'm familiar with what UMass looks like as a football team. Again, I told you last week that the Athletic did a ranking preseason of every team in Division I, basically 1 to 133, and UMass was last. I haven't seen the updated one, but I don't think UMass is going to be last because they beat New Mexico State.
That's right.
In New Mexico.
Yeah.
And they looked competent. They brought in some transfers. Again, their big problem was two problems. Like you said, their pass defense was good. They had the worst offense in college football last year. Like literally in every stat, scoring, passing, rushing, third down conversions, you name it, they were the bottom. Okay.
Yep.
And their run defense was bad. So that was a problem. Teams didn't try to pass so much because they could run the ball, right? And then UMass couldn't score enough to make it matter. And their offense turned the ball over a lot of stuff. So they've added some transfers on offense. They have a quarterback who's a transfer he started out at Clemson. So he was a 4-star at Clemson.
That's right.
And then he went to Georgia Tech, and now he's at UMass. And he's a tall kid. He's a good athlete. He's not – I don't think he's going to run away from our defensive players or anything like that. But he's a decent athlete. He's not a statue back there. And he's got a decent arm. He can throw it a little bit. He's not super accurate, but he's got a pretty strong arm, I think. UMass's head coach is a guy named Dom Brown, and he was – for years he's been the defensive coordinator multiple places, including Michigan. He was the defensive coordinator there about 5 years, and so I saw his defenses play a lot. He on defense, they will play a very aggressive style. He plays pure man-to-man, and his view is like, we're going to play man-to-man and we're going to come after you, and they're going to send guys. So you should expect to see Thorne getting blitzed, and our receivers are going to have to beat man-to-man coverage. Now, it's man-to-man coverage from corners who are going to UMass.
Right, so, but still, man, I mean.
But they're well-coached, and they're going to try and stick to us. So I don't think they have a ton of talent at wide receiver, running back, or anything. But I think this quarterback and the way that the aggressive style they play on defense is going to make them, I would describe them as, like, pesky.
Well, and a team that plays defense like that is problematic the very first game of a new regime with a new quarterback, a new offensive line, and new receivers, because, like you said, they're going to be in his face constantly and making him find a way to beat them. I hadn't even taken that into account when I made my prediction a while ago, but I think that just backs up my prediction even more, which is that in the first half, we're going to be trying to make the pass work, and it may or may not always work with that kind of pressure. And I think in the second half, we're just going to lean on Jarquez and Amari and Batty and so on and just grind them down, you know, get them where they can't stop us.
All right. I want to bring this up since you mentioned his name. I think there is still a possibility that Jarquez Hunter gets suspended.
Really?
And does not play. Yeah, 100%. I think it is possible. And if it happens, we will not hear until 10 minutes before kickoff.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Yeah, I don't have facts to back this up. He missed some practice time and came back. He's clearly on the team and all that stuff. But we don't know what happened in the case. We don't know what the punishments are or whatever. There could be, you know, there could be somebody else who has to sit out a game or whatever. We don't know that. And so I'm just saying, like, don't be stunned if that happens on Saturday.
If Peyton Thorne comes out on the field and Amari is behind him, right? What?
Yeah, Alston.
Damari Alston, right. We could actually not have Robbie or Jarquez in this game. How strange would that be?
Yeah, that would be weird.
It would. Yeah, it makes me a little bit nervous. I mean, so yeah, I'm going to stick with my prediction, but I think, in fact, it just bears it out even more.
I do think we can cause them some problems with our defense. I think we can disrupt their offense and maybe cause some turnovers, which could lead to some, you know, some easier scores for the offense, some shorter field. So that's kind of my hope. What I want to see in this game is I want to see us play a lot of guys on defense, like 30 guys on defense. I want to see a lot of defensive linemen play, a lot of linebackers play, a lot of secondary guys play, and I want to see them get in the action, cover guys, make tackles. And don't wait till the fourth quarter to start substituting. Start sending in waves, in the second series or whatever. So that's what I really want to see, and I'm going to be watching for. I'm going to have the program with the numbers, and I'm going to be looking to see that guy. Who's that guy?
You want a lot of that. You want a lot of having to look them up, right? Pretty early on,
it's like,
there you go. That's good. All right. So what is your game prediction? I said something like 35-17 or something, or 35-13.
52-10.
All right. I prefer yours. I prefer your scenario to mine, but we'll see.
And I could be wrong. I could be wildly optimistic. Auburn could have the first game nervouses, and we could turn the ball over a couple of times. So.
All right. Well, before we get into our final bit of business with listener questions and guess the game and so forth, I think we've got the guess the game left over from last week because we didn't do one because it was the big barbecue show. So we have one, I think, in the can, as they say. But I just want to point out for those that partake of such, this coming weekend, Labor Day weekend, is Dragon Con. This will be my 26th Dragon Con.
Wow.
I have a table next to Jared's in Comic and Pop Artist Alley on the fourth floor of America's Mart 2. So if you just come in America's Mart 2 and make your way through all the other dealer rooms and art rooms and everything up to the fourth floor and go into the big main hall, it's huge. Jared and I are side by side at the end of the aisle. I think our table is 434 and 436. And you'll probably run into Kathy as well. She tends to hang out with us and help run things when we have to go off to panels and stuff. And Mira will be there, too. So the four of us, at least. Alan Porter will not be there this year, unfortunately. He hung out with us last year, but he is not there this year. So come on by, and then otherwise I'll be off on panels all the time. And I've got a reading on Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning in the Hyatt Learning Center where I'll be reading from I'm going to read a little bit from our new book and let a few people in on the secret a few days early, maybe a few weeks early. We'll see.
Look at that sneak preview.
Yeah, you get to be sworn to secrecy or I don't do it. Everybody in the room has to be sworn to secrecy on the blood of Aubie that they will not reveal the the subject matter. But that'll be nice. So anyway, yeah, come out to Dragon Con. It's all in the big hotels in downtown Atlanta. All right, we do not do ads on our program. And we rely on our listeners to support us through and support the show through Patreon.com. If you would like to join their ranks and take part in things like our college football pick'em and our bowl pick'em and our March Madness and our Fantasy Formula One and everything, then go to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button and pick your level of sponsorship. Did you have a note about that, John?
I just want to say thank everybody for their support. We didn't do it last weekend because we were running long at the barbecue show, but we want to thank them for helping make this possible.
That's right. We didn't get to do it last week, and I'm going to do it right now. But what about the game pick'em? Patrons get to be...
We have a SEC pick'em contest for patrons. So if you have not gotten the email or you've had any issues signing up or anything, send us an email to auwishbone@gmail.com, and I will straighten that out.
There we go. And you can join in, and we'll see who's going to... Who's going to finish second to Boris this year?
Oh. It's on, Boris. Let's go.
It is. I was thinking he might be coming to Atlanta, but he's decided he's not sure he likes traveling with me anymore after I left him in Auburn, but he didn't.
I was going to say.
Of all the places he could be left, though, he was happy to be left in Auburn hanging out with your parents for a little while. That made him happy. But he and my wife hang out and watch football together when I'm gone at Dragon Con, so... He'll be hanging around the house here. Let's see. So go to www.auwishbone.com. Before I thank all of our patrons, I got to give you an update. We did have a Formula One race this past weekend, the Dutch Grand Prix. It was a soggy mess. Rain at the beginning, dry in the middle, rain at the end. Here are our current top 10 patrons in Fantasy Formula One. Number one is Teamy McTeamface. He continues to dominate, but it's gotten a little closer this week because Tiger Transit, number two, is moving up. Sir Bacon the First is third. We've had some movement at my expense. Cheeky Nando's moves up to fourth, and I drop down to fifth at Scuderia Toro Plexico. Mississippi Racing is sixth. Scuderia Aguila Guerra has moved up to seventh. Albemobile down to 8th, Smokescreen 45 at 9, and Solitaire is 10. All right, that's where things stand in the Fantasy Formula 1. Now, here come our patrons that we appreciate them. And as always, you can put whatever you like in your name, and that's what I'll read. And some people even put soundboard audio clip requests in their name. Here are the fine folks who continue to support the AU Wishbone and the Auburn family. They include Samuel Salvatore, Boris the Tiger's Burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Logan Chilton. Oh, that's the other thing now, of course, is the dad jokes. Logan Chilton, what do you get when you boil a funny bone? Laughing stock. That joke is humorous. There you go. Let's see. Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, David WDE Sammons Esquire, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says, of course.
No! 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 I'm devastated! I'm devastated, and they're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst! No!
I always enjoy John's interpretation of that clip. It's so good. It's so good. You guys don't
that
know what you're missing.
That clip never gets old.
It never does.
It's gold.
It's so raw and real. It's true. You know, it's from the depths
of
the soul.
That guy is a fan. Like, we yes. feel it.
Oh, absolutely. It. He's suffering. Richard Stevens, hey, Richard's got him. Richard, way to go, Richard. Richard's got one. Richard Stevens, did you hear about the guy who was convicted of drugging seabirds? He left no turn unstoned. Oh! There you go. Way to go, Richard, stepping up. Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. let's see. Oh, okay, so our next person wants us to say...
Tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
Brace yourself as the beat hits ya. Dip trip, get Fantasia.
I'm afraid that the conditioners left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
There you go. Alex Brown's Ben Bloodworth, Blake Bleeds Orange and Blue. Calibrating my fun meter in the back booth of
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That's right. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby Frosty. Hopefully Auburn is the thorn in the SEC's side. I can't disagree with that. I wrote a book on reverse psychology. Please don't buy it. So nice. That's good. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. My grandson was born on August 8th. Oh, I thought we were going a joke with that, but that's legit. That's legit. My grandson was born on August 8th. There you go. I'm excited. And here's what I got to give him. There it is. All right. Way to go. Congratulations. Nerdy dads keep their jokes in a Dada base. Says 76 Tiger Esquire Sleazy Shyster, owner of a Roy Kent jersey. Sleazy Shyster, 76 Tiger, let me just tell you, I am on a panel on Sunday entitled Ted Lasso. That's the name of the panel, Ted Lasso. And I am wearing my home Richmond AFC jersey to it. But I also have the orange one, the away jersey. So I'll be wearing that one on Friday. So it's going to be a big time AFC Richmond Dragon Con for me this year. I got the orange one on Friday and the red and blue one on Sunday. All right. No one fights like Gaston. Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Todd Robinson, Warhammer 6. WDE Richie, is it getting colder this week?
Tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
That's right. Weagle Weagle. It feels like that sound clip has been on the message board, been on the soundboard for about 5 years now, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. Weagle Weagle, Wes Atkinson. Oh, here we go. What happens if you slap someone at high frequency? It hurts. There you go. John's suffering. Oh, John may not recover.
That's a rough one.
That was rough. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger. What? Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus. I've been assured that that my wife and Boris will be enjoying nachos, chicken fingers, and barbecue all weekend while we're gone. Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Diabama at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Yeah, everybody's going to that place, man. It's the hopping place after the barbecue show. Hugo Sleaze is the only SEC coach to ever need a New Mexico State revenge game. That's fair. That's good. I like that one. That's good. Josh Teal. Just wait till next year. Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has that famous winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbread called a pita parka. Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, Alex Nguyen, as a cat, my favorite dessert is chocolate mouse. Oh, that's...
Please clap.
Yeah, I am Tiger. Auburn tried to hire Ted... Speaking of Ted Lasso, Auburn tried to hire Ted Lasso to be its football coach, but Mr. Yellowwood couldn't rope him in. Ben Amos, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Cuomo, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane, I'm missing my category, mister. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Elizabeth Donald, Freeze beat the Hogs with his Liberty team and third string quarterback. Oh, I hope that's true. We
get better at celebrating.
I hope we do. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joseph A. Miller, that would be Joey, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rain says the barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
I think the barbecue's done pretty well. I let him psych me into thinking it hadn't done too well with all this Darth Vader talk. That's what it is. That's what it is. AKA Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
And I say you!
No, she is huge. Not in that way. Come on. Come on, man.
Come on.
Come on, man.
She's big time, and looking forward to having to hanging out with Kathy Bright, the awesome, the epic, the MVP, the fantastic Kathy Bright at Dragon Con. New York Tiger says, beat UMass, War Eagle. Amen to that. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, I'm at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
Back for while you can, the monkey boy.
That's right. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing Johnny's Right, Brant Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. Yeah! There we go. This has been our great patrons. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now it's time, I think, for us to play a little game we like to call...
Who can it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 105. Guess the Game number 105 is brought to you by Josh Corbett, so let's see what Josh sent in.
3rd and 15. Under pressure, that's 3 sacks in the first 3 possessions.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean,
3rd and 15.
Three sacks
in the first 3 possessions.
There's only one game that can be, isn't there? Could
you
there be
about the who sacked Brody game?
It's got to be that, hasn't it? I mean, with that kind of stat.
So that was the Alabama game in
05? I think it was 05. Cuz it was at home. I was there.
Yeah, I was there. Okay. It was either 5 or 7.
I was at 7 also, but 7 was a lot closer game, and we had to like get a long pass to one of our receivers late and everything. That's, I can't think off the top of my head, but I think the score of the 07 game was like 17-13 or something, whereas this one was more like 28-18. We were leading like 28-0, and then we went in the Tubber Shell, and they came back and scored late or something. But surely this is 2-sack Brody, right? It's got to be.
Well, we'll see.
Let's go to the hint file.
Welcome to the hint file. Let's get rid of the bleeps and give it a listen.
3rd and 15. Doyle under pressure. That's 3 sacks in the first 3 possessions.
All right. I will see you guys in the answer file.
Brody Croyle was the Alabama, and also those were the CBS announcers, right?
Yeah.
So that was the other big tip-off that it was potentially an Alabama game.
Right.
Alabama's left tackle had gotten injured, and they had a backup, and the week before he had been abused by Arkansas or somebody pretty badly. And this was an Auburn team that had a great pass rush.
Oh, McClover and the other guy. Yeah. I can't think of the other one. But, yeah, we had 2 really good defensive linemen.
And they were going to be all over. And this reminds me of something I've been meaning to say for 2 weeks. Keldrick Falk, Stanley McClover.
Ooh.
That's where I'm going.
Ooh. I'll take that. I'll take that to the bank. Brother, that sounds good to me. All right. So we're good. 2005 Alabama.
Okay, Van, John, have you guys figured out that this is the sack game Auburn played Alabama in the 2005 Iron Bowl, then you guessed correct. I know we've had that game on the show before, but there's just so many plays you can get out of that game.
That's fair. That's true.
So it's been a while since we used that one. And when Josh sent that in, I thought, why not pick a new play? So I want to thank Josh Corbett for sending that in. If you want to be like Josh, all you've got to do is reach out to me with a play suggestion. I am at Yard Sale Artist on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you could email me directly at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Warrior.
You know, sometimes, John, sometimes I wish that I wasn't the host of this show just so I could send in ideas for Guess the Game. Because, I mean, like, I can think of some off the top of my head that I don't think we've ever been asked, like, something from the West Virginia Rain game. Or the Ben Obamanu screen pass touchdown in the 2003 Iron Bowl, the Trey Smith punt block and flip into the end zone against Florida in 06.
I feel like we've done that one.
We probably have. From that game. Yeah, all right, yeah. Did you see, by the way, that Tim Tebow came and spoke to the team?
I did.
And he was very cool about it. He basically pointed out that he'd never beat Auburn. He said they're the Auburn's only SEC team they never beat. And somebody said, that's okay, Emmett didn't either. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, can you imagine the emotional and psychic angst and agony that we would still be suffering if, like, Bo Jackson and Cam Newton never beat LSU or something?
I'd probably get over it at some point.
I don't think I'd have gotten over it. I'd still be hurting. But we don't have to worry about that because it didn't happen.
Ain't a problem.
But they never beat us.
I was going to say, I guess I just can't sympathize with it because I don't know how that would feel.
I can't imagine how something like that must be. I just can't. I can't wrap my brain around it. All right. Are we good? Ready for listener questions?
Bring it.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
What do we got this week?
All right, we got several questions about Robbie Ashford, so I'm going to kind of group them together. The first one's from Jim McCrory, who says, Van and John, I look forward to your podcast each week. Thank you for making it so entertaining. I'm also a big fan of the soundboard.
Ah, nice.
Here's something to discuss. I remember that Georgia had a player by the name of Hines Ward. He played quarterback, tailback, and wide receiver at college. Yep. He was a freakish athlete who could do it all. Robbie could be Auburn's Hines Ward. He's not an NFL caliber QB talent, but with his freakish athletic ability, he could play most of the offensive positions at certain times. He could be a focus on Wildcat quarterback and receiver roles if he wants to get the attention of the NFL. I think Robbie is open in the open field, is lethal, and I want to see him in positions that make it happen. What do you think?
I agree up to a certain point, but I feel like when a coaching staff is willing to do that with a player, the way they did Hines Ward. I remember him very well at Georgia. When they're willing to do that, it's rare. Because usually when a quarterback starts doing other things, that is the death knell of him doing quarterback things, right? Once you stop being quarterback, you're pretty much not quarterback anymore. He is a very much of an exception at that. And I don't know that – I feel like if you took Robbie away from quarterback and tried to make him learn how to do other things, you might never see him at quarterback again, not in a meaningful way.
I think it's a steep learning curve for any position change. I think some of the Hines Ward stuff was they just didn't have a quarterback. They had injuries or whatever.
Yes.
And so he had to play running back and quarterback in the SEC when those weren't his natural positions, and he did it well because he was such a good athlete.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, could we throw a screen pass to Robbie and him make people miss? And yeah, we could. But I think, I don't know if he could play all of those positions. And I think, again, like, I don't want him to play tailback because I think he'd get beat up.
He's killed.
Too slim.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting idea. I like him as a gadget player. I mean, I like that idea, which is kind of what you're talking about. And there's a possibility there. But there's a huge learning curve in, you know, him being a guy that runs a pass pattern. So
You know how I would like Robbie to be catching a pass is if he lines up at quarterback, takes a snap, pitches the ball to the running back, and then drifts out into a pattern and catches a throwback. And then could create from the open field. Because that way he's still the quarterback. He's not having to line up at receiver or something weird, which is I don't think we want him to do.
I do think we'll have some, at some point this season, he and Thorne both will be on the field.
Yeah, I think that's true.
All right. Next question is from Josh Corbett, who has two questions. His first question is, do you think Thorne will be the quarterback the entire season, or do you think he could be replaced by Ashford or Gurner, and then so answer that, and then I'm going to read you a second question.
Well, I mean, will he be replaced because he gets hurt? I think that's possible. Hopefully not, but it's the SEC and it's a long season, and gets banged up or something. Will he get replaced because he's not playing well and Robbie's better? I mean, I hope not. I hope he plays great and Robbie comes in and plays great too, and they can swap around and everything. But we won't know anything before Saturday. We just don't know anything until Saturday. That's just a fact. Yeah, so
that's fair. It's a, and then he says, what do you think his role will be against those hated Minutemen of UMass?
Robbie's role?
Yes.
I think he'll be the mop-up quarterback. But I think he comes in before halftime, though, at least in one possession.
Like, do you think they'll bring him in for a play or like a goal line series or something? Or do you think he'll have his own series? Like,
I think he'll get his own series like the fourth or fifth series by the time we're into the second quarter.
Okay.
And the better we've done up until then, the more likely it is. If it's 0-0, I'm not sure. Then again, if it's 0-0, it might be more likely.
Yeah, that's There you go.
Depending on how you look at it.
And then he says, keep up the good work, guys. And John asked Van to play the UMass anthem, War Eagle.
Oh, we got it once, and it's coming again before we're done, I promise.
All right. Our next question is from, I got two questions from Bill Miner. His first one is, guys, as much as I love hearing the breakdown of the barbecue show predictions, I'd be curious if the source of the barbecue matters. Do you guys hit up the same joint or joints for it? And as a side note, since we love the tradition that is the show, do you have go-tos for what you enjoy, food or beverage, while watching Auburn outside of that game?
Oh, nice. These are great questions. My go-to barbecue for the barbecue show and for barbecue in general the last 3 or 4 years has been Sugar Fire up on I-64 in Fairview Heights, O'Fallon area. They are really cool. They've got branches all around this area now, and they also own a really good chicken place downtown St. Louis, and they own a really good burger place up in Fairview Heights. So they're really doing well and branching out. They're like this little cottage industry we have. They're on Twitter, too. You can find them. I think ours is called Sugarfire 64 for the interstate. For ball games, for watching games, we tend to make like our own fresh salsa sometimes. And or make a cheese dip or sausage dip or something, and then sometimes we go and get Raisin Cane's chicken fingers and fries and stuff. I kind of like to do that. I like to get some Raisin Cane's chicken fingers and some potato salad, actually. Just get a big vat of potato salad to have with it. What about you?
I get the barbecue normally, again, from Smoke or ZZQ in Richmond, and there's another place called Alamo I've gotten the barbecue from a few times. I like that place. And then during the games, I'm going to be honest, like, it's hard for me to eat while Auburn is playing. As a general rule, I mean, I can snack if there's like chips and dip or, you know, cookies or candy or something around, but I try to not do that too much. If we're playing in the evening, I'm going to normally be drinking a cold beer while Auburn is playing. So I'll say that.
There you go.
So that's it. And then, here's another question, I think, is the other thought-provoking question. It is exciting the season kicks off this weekend, even if some cupcakes are on the menu. Mm. If you had your druthers, what would be the ideal kickoff game for Auburn? Would it be a home game? Would it be against a team that Auburn should play? Would it be a team we hate, like UMass, Georgia State, and the like? I did like the opener against Arkansas in 2014 for a twist, but I'm always for games that are good or more competitive games. What's your feeling?
You know, it's interesting. Let me ask you this. He didn't ask this exactly, but it led me around to it. Would you rather open the game up with a cupcake, with a good out-of-conference team, or with an SEC team?
I don't ever want to open an SEC team. I get it. We did it. We could do it again. We could do it once every 10 years or something, but that is not my preference.
All right.
Well, I want to ease into that a little bit.
Some of the teams we've opened with that are SEC, Ole Miss and Arkansas and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Kentucky over the years we've opened with. I can't think of hardly any other ones that we have. Isn't that pretty much it? I mean.
Yeah. I don't think we've opened against anybody else.
We went through a long stretch of Ole Miss.
State a long time ago.
I don't remember that. Like, certainly not Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, Texas A&M. No. I think it's pretty much those are the ones that come to my mind. We opened against Kentucky a few times in the 80s. We opened against Arkansas recently, and we opened against Ole Miss a lot like in the 90s.
Yeah. So I love home and home non-conference games against good teams.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that game being the second game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like a cupcake just because it's new teams, it's young people. I get the kinks out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a glorified scrimmage, but with real opponent.
But there's something about playing a big-time non-conference team in the first game that really gets the pressure going, where you have to come out and play well immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd rather, again, I'd always rather do that in a home-and-home situation than in a neutral site.
I'm going to say what I would like is that we alternate our opening game. I agree with you. I don't see any need to start with an SEC team. So forget that. I would either want to open with, I think we should alternate between a cupcake at home and then like a neutral site game against a team like Clemson that we've done, or Florida State, or, and honestly, I like when we used to open, I think like Southern Miss, we would open occasionally against them, and that was fun. Because they're, again, that's a team that's not just, they're not garbage. They're a good, solid program.
There's a level of team, this is a good point, between Cupcake and, you know, Florida State, right?
Right.
And in the old days, Southern Miss isn't that good right now, but in the old days, they fit that mold.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a level in between there where maybe we find that kind of team.
But you got to admit, starting off with somebody like Clemson or Penn State or whatever, that's exciting. It gets things rolling immediately, even though
it does. Lose. And you, the whole offseason, you're thinking about that game.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Last emails from Charles Mooney, who says, "I hate the University of Massachusetts War Eagle."
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
It's almost here, John. It's almost here. I guess before we say goodnight, we got to hop in the Albemobile and going to go ahead and... we hadn't gotten to do this in a while.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
Not with actual scores.
I was going to say, you mean talk about actual football?
I know, it's so exciting.
Players transferring between teams football?
Well, I was going to say it's exciting, except for that it's Vanderbilt, Hawaii. So, you know, how exciting can it be? But Vanderbilt won a tackle football game.
They did. And again, this was more competitive than a lot of people thought. They beat Hawaii like 63-0 last year. And this was in Nashville. The good news, I'm going to say this for you and for other Auburn fans listening, you should be aware of this. Vanderbilt is doing major construction on their stadium. So it will be inconvenient for guests this season. And it was very apparent in that game.
Good thing I'm not going. So one thing I noticed in that game, this kind of made me feel really old. Hawaii's head coach is Timmy Chang.
Yes. Chang, the quarterback, who played against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
5 minutes ago, he was their quarterback in my world, and now he's their head coach. I can't even fathom it. That's even quicker than Mike Shula coaching Alabama, which was like 5 minutes to me. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, every time I see some player's son, junior, whatever, get recruited, I'm like, come on, man. That guy just graduated from college.
Come on, man.
All right, so what do we got coming up? We got a Thursday game. This is the one I'm looking forward to right here.
Florida at Utah, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Rarely do the Gators travel out of conference.
I forgot I'm going to be Eastern time, aren't I, this weekend? So
you'd be looking at these Eastern times.
I know. I'm looking right now. I got a panel at 7 to 8 and 8:30 to 9:30 Thursday night. So I'll get in a little bit of
You'll see the second half.
I'll see some of it, yeah. South Dakota at Missouri, so they get a cupcake more. I don't know. Is South Dakota any good? I know those Dakotas can be deceptively good.
They're good, but they're not one of those 1AA teams that you should be scared of.
All right.
You know, South Dakota State, North Dakota State are the ones that, if they were playing them, I'd be on upset alert.
All right, so Saturday, Music City at noon Eastern time. We got Tennessee and Virginia in Nashville. That's interesting. Tennessee should win, right? But it's still,
Virginia's terrible. Tennessee's going to win by 40.
All right. Ball State, Kentucky.
I'm just going to say, Tennessee, Virginia, lots of bad shades of orange at stake.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's right. That's going to be light orange versus dark orange. The Virginia looks like us to a certain degree, so that's true. Mercer at Ole Miss. Okay. Western Carolina at Arkansas. I'm just checking the at to make sure the right one is at. Southeastern Louisiana at Mississippi State. I did see that Mississippi State's coach put down that his favorite musical act is Led Zeppelin. I immediately raise him a couple of ranks in my estimation. Meanwhile, across the state, Ole Miss's coach Lane Kiffin said his favorite music act is Taylor Swift. I immediately lowered him a couple of spots. Not because, you know, my daughters both love Taylor Swift, and she's obviously very talented and making billions of dollars, but that's not what a SEC football coach is supposed to say their favorite band or musician is Taylor Swift. That just none. Oh, here was a funny Taylor Swift line. I don't know where I heard this. Somebody said the NFL approached her about doing the halftime show of the Super Bowl, and it's like in Arizona or something. And she said no, she'd rather wait and do it if it's in Nashville. And somebody said, given the current relative popularity of the NFL and Taylor Swift, the NFL should be asking if they could play the Super Bowl at halftime of a Taylor Swift concert. That was pretty good.
Fair.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty fair.
UT Martin, would that be the War Eagles?
It would be.
Oh, at Georgia. Come on.
The Auburn uniform knockoffs.
I love them. I love them. UT Martin, baby, go. New Mexico at Texas A&M. We're going to see a little bit of Petrino ball there and see what's going on. Alabama A&M at Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt conceivably could be starting the season 2-0. How many times have they gotten to say that in the past? I don't know. Not many.
Exciting. Alabama A&M quarterback, D. Davis.
Do I know that?
Former Auburn signee, Demetrius Davis.
Oh, Demetrius Davis. Okay, okay.
For a minute.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 years ago. Okay. Middle Tennessee State at Alabama. Really, Alabama? Has it come to that? Well, I mean, we're playing UMass, I know, but still, Middle Tennessee State, that just, all right, whatever. That's 7:30 Eastern on the SEC Network. I love the idea. We're playing UMass, and we're on ESPN, and Alabama's on SEC Network. That's pretty funny. That's weird, but I'll take it.
I think it's big, and I think it says something about, you know, Auburn and Freeze's first game, and it's on main ESPN.
Absolutely. North Carolina at South Carolina in North Carolina. Charlotte, that's a weird. Let me say that again. North Carolina at South Carolina in Charlotte, North Carolina. That doesn't make a lick of sense, John. That's geographically contradictory in terms.
It's North Carolina versus South Carolina in Charlotte.
Oh, my gosh. 7:30 Eastern. That'd be a good game, though.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a really good game. Two really good quarterbacks. All right,
let's put it this way. There are pairs of teams in the country that ought to be huge annual rivals and for whatever reason almost never play. Well, Auburn and Alabama were that way for 41 years, right? North Carolina, South Carolina ought to be a huge rivalry, in my opinion, and they hardly ever play. What's the deal? I mean,
we need some bad blood here.
Somebody's Carolina has to go home. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's just perfect. North Carolina versus South Carolina. My Carolina's better than your Carolina. Right? Why is that not a big thing? I don't understand it.
It's going to be good.
It's like, that's like if,
North Carolina's quarterback, Drake May, is a great player. Maybe better than Caleb Williams. So
it's like if Ohio State and Michigan never played each other. It just doesn't seem right. I don't get it. Anyway. All right. Sunday. We got games like every day this coming week. It's crazy. LSU versus Florida State in Orlando, Florida.
It's a huge game. It was,
yes,
you know, came down at the end last year and some special teams and mistakes. And so I think, you know, those kind of bit LSU, and I think both teams are better than they were a year ago. I think it's going to be a really, really good game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of that. I'll come in for around halftime of that one. I'll be in the middle of doing the big trivia tournament. Let's see. All right, you've got a hold on. There it is. All right, so you've got a non-conference game of the week to watch. We started doing this last season. I thought it was really good. I'm glad you brought it back. John's non-conference game of the week.
I considered a couple others, like TCU Colorado is early on Saturday, but Clemson at Duke is Monday night. Duke, you know, was actually competitive last year. They got a good quarterback. Clemson on the road at them, I think, is going to be a fun competitive game, and that's Monday night on ESPN. So we get college football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I am going to take it all in. I can't wait. The other game that I put on there is a potential one. If you're a late night Saturday person, Coastal Carolina at UCLA at 9:30 Eastern.
That's a future Big Ten game, right?
At Coastal Carolina at a Big Ten school on the West Coast, 9:30 p.m.
I just figure Coastal Carolina will be in the Big Ten sooner or later anyways. I'm just counting that as a conference game, Big Ten, at some point.
They're waiting their invite.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go ahead and roll it out now because I haven't done it in a long time, and I got to quickly think.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
And my lock of the week, because it's so easy on week one because nobody plays anybody, but I'm going to say my lock of the week is Utah is going to beat Florida. And that may sound predictable, but I thought Florida has a shot there. I had to think about it for a second, but I think that at home, Utah is going to take care of business against Florida and make the Gators start out 0-1. You heard that there's predictions that that Napier's not even going to make it through the season. What is your thoughts about that real quick?
I think their recruiting is better than Auburn's right now.
I was going to say, their recruiting is fantastic.
He's making a good recruit. So yeah. I think he's going to be fine. I think they understand he's rebuilding. But again, I think if they go out there and get waxed, it ain't going to help either. So.
No, it ain't going to help. That's true. It isn't going to help. But anyway. All right, well, we'll see. Far be it from me to feel bad about Florida having some struggles. You know, I mean, I've enjoyed Tennessee struggles for many years now.
We're Team Utah.
Okay. Yeah.
Bring it, Utes.
These two Utes, your honor. These two Utes.
This brings an important point. Van and I, we don't do that whole SEC chant, okay?
No.
I just assumed Florida, Alabama, Georgia never won another sporting event for the rest of civilization.
Never. So. I don't have any interest in... Well, you know, you and I said years ago that when we ran into controversy and the SEC sold us out, hung us out to dry, we raised the Jolly Roger and said, every man for himself, and they can go jump. They can go jump. They can go jump because...
Scott Wilson!
That's it.
This is true.
That's right. All right. I think we're ready to get out of here for week one. You feeling good about things?
I do, and I hate UMass, man.
I hate UMass. I think that the fun meter's already ticked up a quarter of a point just while we've been doing this show.
Hate Week 2023.
Back for while you can, monkey boy.
All right, we're going to get on out of here for another week, John. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wiggle, John.
Wiggle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.